Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to the latest episode of your podcast with C-Ray and Laney Moe. I am C-Ray, and we all know Laney Moe. Laney Moe, how you doing tonight, buddy?
What's up, my brother? How you doing, man?
It's another day in paradise on top of the mountain down here in Charleston, West Virginia. Boy, we got a lot of rain this past week, and we just kind of want to keep those people in our thoughts in North Carolina. I was down in the Carolinas during some of the storm, unfortunately, and it was not pretty. A lot of stuff going on down there. So we hope those people down there are going to make it through and get their stuff taken care of. Man, it was nasty. But we do have some good news. WVU did not lose this weekend. We played the bye and we won, which generally on a bye week means nobody got injured. Seems like it was a pretty clean week of practice to my knowledge. I hope the staff takes this week to this week to heal up some guys that are hurting, make some of those quote unquote easy fixes to the D, get some of the offense stuff straightened out, because we are going to Stillwater this week. And Laney, a couple things I want to touch on, and I'll throw it to you and let you shoot off on this. Me personally, Oklahoma State not looking like I thought they were going to look at the beginning of the year. When the schedule came out, I thought this was going to be a butt whooping. I thought Ollie Gordon was going to slice and dice and Alan Bowman was going to pick. Alan Bowman not looking, he's looking good on paper, but he's not looking good in motion. And Ollie Gordon is looking human this year. They lost this past week 42-20 to K-State, who just kind of, their defense just really kept them in check hardcore. You know, Alan Bowman goes for 364 yards is what it was. Goes for 364 yards with only one touchdown, two picks. I mean, that's a lot of throwing the ball around to only score one touchdown, you know, in the air. Ollie Gordon, 76 yards. I mean, we're talking about the guy that went off for 150 yards against us in one quarter last year with three touchdowns to win that game and only gets 76 this past weekend. So, to me, this game all of a sudden is looking a little more winnable. I think we all know that it's going to depend on what kind of changes and what kind of things we did to tweak the team in the off week. But, Laney, fire off on it, man. What do you think? Going to Stillwater this weekend? How you feel?
I wish it was at home. We had them at home last year. You know, obviously, right. And they beat us in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma State's not the big bad wolf that everybody thought they were in the Big 12 as far as they're going to have a two-headed monster. Well, teams are loading up and making their quarterback beat you, just like teams are going to do against WVU.
Yes.
And, it's like, we're going to let you throw all you want. Throw for 500 yards. If you can't get in the end zone, you're walking away with an L. You know, and that's basically what happened, you know, against K-State. Through, like you said, threw for almost 400 yards in a tutty, you know? So it's like, you can march up and down, but it's that bend but don't break. And I think that's the precept that West Virginia is going to walk into this Saturday. I think we should have our way with their defense. If I know we can't go 2 minutes all the time, it's not logical, even though that's what our fans want. That's what I want. That's what you want. Let's go, you know, because our 2 minutes looked amazing. It looked really, really good.
But that keeps your defense on the field even longer, defense is already bad on their own without being gassed.
Well, if you go three and out with it, it does, you know.
That's so true too.
You know, I mean, you're only getting three plays off about 45 seconds, and you know, next thing you know, your defense marches their ass back out on the field.
So, guys ain't even had time to sit down and fart on the bench yet, and they're already getting out.
Yeah. So, Oklahoma State doesn't scare me. I don't know. This Big 12 is wide open in my eyes. I mean, it is week to week, and that's what these teams are going to do against each other is beat it up against each other. Right. But whenever people predict schedule, and like we did, just like everybody else does, Oklahoma State's one of those games you got to steal. It on everybody's schedule, no one's predicting Washington to win. But it's one of those ones you got to steal. You got to steal a couple games, especially when you lose to the team is 70 miles away from Morgantown up north. That hurt. That hurt the record. But Big 12 goes forward from there. You got to steal a game here and there. and you got to steal a couple away games. You got to win your home games. You got to beat the teams that are below you in ranking and steal a game here or there. We're in the same boat as we are as last year. We're in the exact same boat. So,
yeah. Well, that boat is – I'm getting tired, man. That boat seat's starting to hurt my rear end, too. So.
Well, Jim, stand up and row. So, it's one of those things where got to steal this game. You got to find a way to win on the road. And Neil and the company has not been very good at that in general. And let's just go steal one and we'll steal water.
Well, I think people are going to kind of reflect back to 2 years ago where we did steal one in Stillwater. But, you know, I thought that was, you know, kind of a different kind of game, in my opinion. The big fear I have is, yeah, they did march up and down the field, but they didn't get into the end zone when they needed to. And that falls on the defense of K-State, which really shut them down. I mean, K-State had 71 tackles to Oklahoma State's 51. That's a pretty big margin there. And I think we'll have a hard time with Oklahoma State because Bowman is going to pick our defense apart. And the problem is, I think when we have us up against the wall at the 20-yard line, the 15-yard line, anywhere in the red zone, I think they're still going to be able to put that in the red zone or in the end zone where K-State was able to stop it. Hopefully I'm wrong on that. I think I could be wrong on that. You know, it depends on what kind of tweaks they made here in the off week. You know, we don't know that. We're not going to know until the game Saturday. But being on being Monday morning and looking at this, it kind of makes me wonder how if this might be Bowman's bounce-back game confidence-wise. Because let's be honest, our secondary has not been good. We gave up 306 yards to an FCS quarterback. It's not great, you know. I mean, and that's the scary thing for me. Ollie Gordon, I'm not really as worried about him as I was at the beginning of the year. I think our defensive line, you know, is – I think they're going to be able to keep him in check enough to where he's not going to go for 250 yards and four touchdowns. I don't know if it's going to be enough to get it done, but like you said, statistically right now, they're the worst defense in
the
12.
Yeah.
So I think that bodes well for us. I think that if Green can keep plays alive with his feet and do what he did last week with his feet after the rain delay and make enough of those passes to keep their defense honest, I do think this game becomes much more winnable than it was at the beginning of the season, in my opinion. So don't know if we're 100% going to get it done, but it is, in my eyes, much more possible now than I thought it was 5 weeks ago when we were tipping off for the season here. But to K-State's credit, I'm more scared of them now than I was 5 weeks ago when we kicked off at the beginning of the season, because you look at how they've kind of performed, I think, a little better than a lot of people thought. And Oklahoma State has performed a good bit worse than a lot of people thought. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what Oklahoma State team shows up at their house this week. Are we going to get a downtrodden, sad team that's kind of doom and gloom because they've dropped two after starting out 3-0, I think? Or are we going to get a team that's like, we got to get our chat together and we got to do things right and going to come out and kill us? Don't know. I don't know, but I think it's much more winnable now than it was before.
I think it's going to be a shootout. I really believe that this could be one of those, you know, 45-42 ball games. Last team that gets the ball, you know, a stop or a score wins it. I hate that. I can't stand. I'm tired of this. I don't need this in my life. But that's where I think we are. And I think it's just a patchwork defense. And let's figure it out. I hope they play better, but I think it's going to be a shootout, Big 12 shootout.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a real high-scoring game. I don't know, man. I'm at a point where I don't know what to predict anymore, Lance.
It's hard.
But, you know, I'm going to go on some faith here, which I haven't had much of this year because of just how the first three games went and honestly, how last week went before the rain delay. I'm going to go on some faith. I'm going to say that they make some tweaks to the defense. Okay. And we can hopefully keep them out a little bit. But I think it's going to be a heart. I think it's going to be a heartbreaker. 28-27 Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I think the intangible of the home field advantage is going to be just enough to keep us just on the outside looking in. So I say 28-27 Oklahoma State.
All right.
Something else that I want to kind of touch on. K-State had 3 rushing touchdowns and 3 touchdowns in the air. Hopefully we come out with a win this week and build some confidence, because those guys are going to be tough the following week. It's going to be a tough game against them. Their defense is good. Their offense right now is looking good. That's going to be a tough game. So
K-State figured some things out. They
yes.
They went to BYU and took a hammering at BYU, and I think BYU's better than what people think.
They're undefeated right now, aren't they?
Yes,
they are. For the first time in how long?
Yes, they are. And BYU, I don't know what's – I haven't watched them that much because they play at 2 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's just BYU's rolling, and I'm glad they are not on our schedule. So
yeah, I'm glad we don't have them this year. I don't think that game would have went the same this year as it did last year.
But you know, we're going to roll into you know, Big 12 action now, and let's go ahead and just me and you roll into it ourselves with what the hell's going on, because they're like the teams that are supposed to been, you know, Utah supposed to been the bad boy of the Big 12, and then Arizona, and then here comes K-State and TCU and Oklahoma State.
I think what we're seeing, and not just in the Big 12, I think we're seeing it across all of college football, is I think part of it is the NIL is starting to open things up for teams that couldn't afford to not play by the rules before. And now that it's legal, I think some teams are going out and they're putting all their eggs, or they're putting all their effort into one or two players that's going to be a star and build around them. And I think we're seeing some teams that people are like, hey, man, they weren't that good in the past, or they're not going to be great. I think they're starting to figure out how to mesh NIL in with things. The Big 12, though, specifically, it's kind of upended on what everybody thought was going to happen. Kind of like you said, Utah losing last night to Arizona, I think it was like 23-10. Now, Arizona was supposed to be one of those top schools this year. They haven't performed fantastically so far, but they did what I think is a good win over Utah last night. But Utah is, first off, their fans are insufferable. I just want to say that. I'm sorry. Their fans are just, you know, they're like SMU, man. They're like SMU fans. And those guys won yesterday. They beat Florida State yesterday. So I'm sure, haven't even been on our Twitter page, I'm sure SMU fans are flexing that big pony energy all over Twitter today, because, you know, I'm telling you, man, if I had to pick 2 fan bases that I just can't stand, it's got to be right now Utah and SMU.
Wow.
I mean, man, they're, you know, and I shouldn't say, well, everybody has their fans, right? Everybody has that group, you know, but it's like, as a whole, Utah come in here beating their chest. We're going to run this. And like, yeah, they're doing well, but I don't think they're doing quite as well as they thought they were going to. But
see, they're too far away to bother me. I'm a local yokel, and I have my own enemies close by. So,
I've just kind of shut Pitt off for the rest of the year just because we lost him.
No, I think somebody's worse than that down southwest of Morgantown. So,
you talking about little brother?
Yes.
I love it. Yeah, you know what? That's fair, man. That's fair. I got some neighbors about 50 minutes west. They're kind of a pain, you know. It's my favorite thing, I want to tell the story real quick and then we'll move on. My favorite thing was, do you remember, it's been, 4 or 5 years maybe?
The monsoon?
No, not the monsoon. The year that we played them in the second round of the NCAA tournament in basketball.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, yes. Listen, yeah, okay. So at the time, I was working with a guy that was a big Marshall fan. His kid was on the Marshall staff and everything, and he just – yeah, man, this is the year. We're going to do it. We're going to beat you guys. Like, we were, you know, we really got everything figured out, and we're ready for you guys this year. That's all I heard, like, for the whole 48 hours leading up to the second round game. That's all I heard from him. Well, man, we smacked them by like 30 points, and he had nothing. Dude, he avoided me the whole next day. Absolutely. Nothing to say.
Absolutely.
Nothing to say. I texted him. I said, hey, what's going on? Where you at? I ain't seen you all day. You know, he's like, oh, I'm busy. I ain't got time to talk about it. Ah, yeah, you ain't got time to talk about it. Like, it was bad.
I remember that like it was yesterday, and the Marshall fans, and I said, Huggins felt bad for you guys, and he let you all. Any other time that they played, it was relatively not close, but close, you know? Huggins wouldn't run it up. And I said, there's nothing to protect you. There is nothing. There's nowhere you can go. You all are going to get beat by 60 if possible. And I think it was in the high 30s.
It was 34 or 35 or something.
And that was after they came back. You know, I mean, yeah. I think at one point it was like 46 or 44.
Yeah.
And it was impressive.
That was, man, good times.
Marshall is the blundering turds, and it's just so awful as a university. As human beings, I'm sure they give out very good diplomas with the time you put in on it, to the effort you paid and the money to go to school there or whatever. But my God, they're bad humans.
God, that's terrible.
But anyway,
all right, let's move on. I don't want to cause any trouble here. But yeah, the Big 12 is wide open. You know, Kansas is one that has kind of surprised me. Not that I thought that they were going to win the conference. I just thought that they were going to perform better with Jalen Daniels coming back and having as well as they did last year. But I think the big thing for them this year has been the change in offensive coordinator. I don't think their current offensive coordinator knows how to use Jalen Daniels. I don't think he knows how to play call for him. You flash back to our game, they're running it, they're marching down the field, and then all of a sudden he decides to start throwing passes. And it's like – and it's
it cost him the game.
It did cost him the game. And it's a good thing that it's a good thing that Jalen Daniels was so bad, because, you know, as bad as our defense was having guys open, and Daniels just couldn't hit them. So, like, if he would have been a serviceable quarterback throwing-wise, I think that game would have ended up differently. But I don't know, man. At this point, it's like, who's going to win the Big 12? I got no freaking idea. It's wide open. People that were supposed to be good aren't as good. People that weren't supposed to be great are doing better. I don't know. But moving on to some stuff, interesting stuff that happened this weekend around the college football world. So, Miami, Virginia Tech, right? I think a lot of us watched that game. A lot of us saw the ending to that game. Your thoughts, Lanny, on the spot. Was it a catch? Was it a touchdown? What do you think?
It was such a for one, Virginia Tech laid it all out on the field. And
absolutely
for a 2-2 Virginia Tech to come in and play number 7 at 7 Miami, and just to keep it close. And keep it close, I'm talking, you know, it came down to a Hail Mary. And what we're talking about, for those who didn't see it, Hail Mary in the end zone. One referee pretty much says incomplete. The other one's staring at the other one, and touchdown gets raised, you know, and it was a melee, but there were so many questions involved. Was it a catch? Was it not a catch? Did he complete it, you know, like through the act of a catch to make it a catch or not? My question was, are you allowed to land on somebody out of bounds and be in contact with somebody out of bounds if you did control it?
So
that's where my question was with it. And I don't think there was any type of control. I think the call was correct with an incomplete.
Get the hell out of here.
Come now, on,
listen,
man.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what I saw. Okay. Let me tell you what I saw. I saw a boy jump up in the air, come down with the ball, have the ball. I'm telling you right now, I think it was a catch. And everybody says the ACC's explanation was, okay, he didn't have control, and a guy from out of bounds touched the ball, which made it dead. The problem I have with that is I think he had control. I think if he had control, he was down, the play was dead, touchdown. Now, okay, whether or not you agree with what I saw there,
right?
Here's the big problem I had with it. They called it a touchdown.
On the field.
You have to have completely no question. And you can't tell me that those old jerk-offs in the ACC office looked at that grainy arse imagery and said, oh, yeah, he didn't have control and he touched it. You can't. That's bull crap. Because if they were looking at the same crap we looked at on the freaking TV screen, it was so damn blurry you could barely tell where anything was at all, let alone be able to conclusively say that he did or did not have control. Even if I can almost get on the board with the questionable aspect of did he have full control? That's fine. We want to debate that. I think he did. You don't think he did. I see the people that say it wasn't a catch. I do understand where they're coming from. My problem with the whole thing is they called it a touchdown on the field, and there was no freaking way they could look at that film, as grainy and blurry as it was, and tell me 110% without a doubt they came to that conclusion off of that film. That's bullcrap. That's the problem I have with it.
I agree with you. I agree with you with that, because there's 27 sets of hands in the replay.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. You know? How are you going to tell me? You don't freaking know. Yeah. Really bugged me.
But the thing that I saw, I don't think the ball ever got actually caught.
Oh, bullcrap, like, man. He had it right here in his freaking gut with both his hands up over it.
And there was other hands, and I think there was movement, and, you know, that's my thing of a catch. Nah. I mean, that's the problem with college, NFL, I think all of it is, they don't know what the hell a catch is or not.
Oh, that's another good point. That's because the damn definition of a catch changes every 2 years.
I know.
So how are you supposed to be able to keep it right?
Is the act completed through the contact or through the end of the play or whatever? But you know it, and I know it, and I hate to say I am not a conspiracy theorist at all, but you do not, if you're the ACC.
That was a business decision, is what that is.
It is a business decision.
That's a business decision.
You don't want to see your number seven team go down.
You're looking at this. I'm telling you what it is. They called the commissioner and said, "Commissioner, here's your options. 2-2 underdog gets the hardcore underdog victory, or undefeated team, them and Clemson are the two tickets right now to go to the, you know, that's the two teams in the ACC that are going to be in the playoffs. Do you want to sacrifice Miami for an underdog story, or do you want to keep them clean?" Oh, commissioner's like, "Well, we got to go with Miami." That was a business decision right there. That's what that was. I think if these are 2-2 teams or 2-1, whatever the hell difference, somebody's not undefeated. I think we're looking. I think, it's a touchdown. Okay, yeah, let's get the heck out of here. Get on the buses and go home, boys. That's not what it was.
They'd have called it a tie.
Yeah, we're not doing this. We're not spending any time on this. No. Yeah. And here's the other thing. If you have to take as long as they did to look at a replay, then I don't think it was very conclusive. I mean, it took how damn long? They said having a circle jerk around in the freaking ACC replay room.
I think half the coaches already showered.
There's okay, we're going to go get a shower. We'll come back in time for the final decision. You know, if it takes that dang long, then you can't tell me that you know what I mean? I just don't agree with it. But I'm getting all fired up. Let's move on to something else.
Okay. Let's go.
Bama, Georgia, right? Bama, Georgia.
Wow. Wow.
Halftime. Dude, halftime, I'm thinking, okay. You know, the whole nation is sitting here thinking, Nick Saban leaves Bama. Is there going to be a drop-off? A lot of people said yes. I thought there would be. You know, I think when
– I did.
I did. I think when you have a dynasty like that, and that dynasty all of a sudden abruptly changes, I think there's a shift. I'm watching that game, and I'm thinking, holy crap, okay, Bama's not going to have a drop-off. They're beating the crap out of Georgia right now. I mean, the first 2.5 quarters of that game were just – unbelievable to me that Georgia, who's lost what, 2 games in the last 3 seasons of 3 or 4 college seasons of college football, both of those losses have been Bama, by the way, and now 3, but as dominant as they are, to get beat like a drum like that. But then what do you think about the fact that Bama had to come back and end up fighting at the end to keep that game? That's mind-blowing to me.
Oh yeah. It was almost like Bama just shut it down. That they were just literally shut it down. They couldn't move the ball after halftime. Georgia's defense stepped up, and then Georgia, like a light bulb went off, and anything they wanted to do offensively worked in the second half. And I think Herb Street said that they had the lead in the second half for 13 seconds.
Georgia did. Yeah.
Georgia came back from basically 21 down, because it was
It was 28-7.
Seven. Yeah.
I think they went into the locker room 30-7 because Bama got a freaking safety.
Well, their quarterback for Georgia went to throw the ball away. He had to throw it somewhere, and he's in the end zone, and it was relatively close to nobody. So that was a good safety, you know.
Yeah.
But good pressure. Wow, what a game. What a game. And then I swear I'm sitting there going, this game is going to overtime. They're going to score. And because it was a 7-point game, you know, and Georgia had the ball marching, and he threw back shoulder passes. I don't know if he did it on purpose or not, but they were short and the wide receivers were coming back to it.
Yeah.
And early, like two or three drives, back shoulder was working, and he threw it in the end zone. And the thing was, it wasn't over like a 30-yard pass. So the D back could see the ball. He could play the ball into God at the same time. So he basically came back and got it for the interception in the end zone right there, which sealed the deal. But hell of a game. The atmosphere. Oh my God. I mean, the thing, like, when Georgia scored to take the, you know what I'm saying, to take the lead with two and change left, or you know, whatever it was, it showed the Bama fans, and grown men were just like,
it's that thing where they had they're standing there with their arms crossed. For those of you that you can see me, they're like this. It was definitely interesting. It was not how I thought the game was going to end. Honestly, man.
No, I thought it was over. Dude, I really did. I really thought that Bama was going to win that game like 56-20 or something.
I don't know what the change was. I don't know what the change was. I don't know if the new coach was like, all right, let's let up and save some guys. But if I'm a new coach taking over that dynasty and I'm playing Georgia and I'm beating Georgia like a drum that badly, I want to keep beating them till the fourth quarter reads zeros, because that's a statement right there. That's a statement of, hey, I'm the new coach here. There's not going to be a drop off. We're going to continue the winning ways of Alabama. And I'm not saying that he did let up. I'm saying if that was what happened. I don't think it was. I think a lot of it was the players kind of like,
let's coast
here. You know, we're up 3.5 touchdowns. Let's coast a little bit. And then next thing you know, the dogs are biting at your heels, and then you got to turn around and start kicking them again.
Well, I mean, people don't really realize it, that you're watching at any given time on the field. When you watch Bama and Georgia play, you're probably watching 10 to 12 future NFL players.
Yeah.
At any time. And players make plays. And that's what I thought that Georgia did in the second half. They nut up and play because they were like, we are going to get beat by 70 if we don't stop this.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think going into halftime, I think Kirby Smart is probably breaking a couple clipboards on his knees.
Yeah.
He's probably breaking one and saying, does anybody got a clipboard? Oh, here's a new one. And he broke that one too. I bet he was lit.
And you watch two teams that are going to be in a college playoff.
Is what you watched.
You watched great football. Is what we watched.
It was. Despite how much we sometimes don't like the SEC and what I think is their diabolical plan to overtake college football as a whole, that was a good football game. Second half, I think in the first half it was almost boring because you're like, okay, well, this is not what we expected. But the second half, it turned into a very fun college football game to watch.
Yeah.
But you know, not everything is shiny and roses in college football, Lance. And I think one of the last things that we are going to have fun talking about here is, in case you football fans have not been paying attention to anything outside the blue and gold, because I know sometimes I don't. The quarterback for UNLV decided that he was going to leave because UNLV did not, or specifically one of the assistant coaches, did not fulfill the promise of a $100,000 payment to him. So he decided, I'm going to redshirt, I'm going to transfer.
I'm out.
I think the words he used were, promises that were made to me before have not been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with this is, first off, There is still not really any regulation on this. Are these kids signing contracts, Laney? I know this is something we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Are they signing contracts? Are they not? Are these, you know, take my word for it deals? But regardless of that, in my opinion, this is really bad for the sport, because just like how the NIL stuff started up and now has become a holy hell terror, this kid right here is setting a precedent for other kids in the nation that if they're not happy with what's going on, I'm going to redshirt and I'm going to quit. I think we've reached a point, and I've been saying it since last year when this NIL stuff started to get really out of control. I think we've reached a point where it's time for some oversight to step in and just pretty much make it the same thing as the G League for the NBA. You're going to come here. Here's your contract. This is what your NIL deal is. This is what happens if you leave, just like in the NFL. If a player decides, I don't want to play here anymore, that's fine. What's your contract say? I mean, you're going to lose $13 million if you leave. This, you know, I think we're at a point, and it's time for contracts. It's time to protect the schools and the players both. I don't really care about protecting the schools that much, because it's not like they're not making money. But, you know, a contract is supposed to be something to protect both parties of an agreement, according to my wife anyway. And I think it's time for that. I think we've reached the point now, because this kid is up, and none of us really know right now what 100% the truth is.
Right.
This kid has now up and quit on his team, quit on his teammates, quit on his school, because allegedly the school has not fulfilled a promise to him. I think it's set a bad precedent, and I think they need to get ahead of it now.
The athletic department or whoever's saying that promises – wasn't made, that it was if something like that did happen, they didn't know about it, or it was a handshake deal with an assistant coach or what, it doesn't matter. And you are complete, if anybody's listening to this, you're completely out of your damn mind if you do not think that these are business decisions. These are 1000%. The student athlete is over unless you are going to play swimming or
play swimming. Or I've never heard a phrase like that, Lady. You go to play. Let's go play swimming today.
Play swimming. Because hey, I tell you what, these kids ain't. They didn't come to play school. That's a fact. When you put money in, some call it, you know, the root of all evil or whatever, but the education. They're not coming to get education. They're not coming anymore. Those days are done. And if you know what I'm saying, and a lot of these kids are never going to have the opportunity to put that kind of money in their pocket ever again. Ever again. A lot of human beings never work and make that kind of money.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So I mean, let's be real and call a spade a spade. It's, I got to go get mine now. And that's where they're at with it. Because if the kid who's the quarterback and, you know, here is getting this, I deserve at least this, you know, or whatever. But it's crazy, because there's nothing stopping a kid. There's nothing right now from stopping Jaheim White from saying, I'm done this year. I'm done. Unless there is a contract or something, you know, what's stopping Nico? Garrett's done next year. I'm supposed to be the guy with the reins, but they just recruited this other quarterback, I'm out of here. And you know, Arizona State called me and they said they'll pay me more to go there. That's my home. I'm from out that way. What's stopping it? There's nothing stopping it.
Now, I think, I don't know for sure, and, you know, maybe you and I need to pull some strings with some of the people we know and see if we could get an answer somewhere. I would be highly surprised if there's absolutely nothing out there.
There has to be. There has to be.
Right, there has to be, but I think what is out there is not enough. I think we're at a point now where it needs to be the same as the NFL. I'm sorry. And some people might be like, well, they're college kids. Not anymore. They're not. There was a time, and I'm really going to sound like a freaking grandpa here. I mean, I'm only 34, but I'm going to sound like a pappy when I say this. There was a time when the reason you strived to be so good at sports was to get a free education. The NFL, if that happened, fantastic. But that's not what your goal was. Your goal was, I want to be the best in high school so I don't have to pay for college. Right? So
my parents aren't burdened.
So, yeah, exactly. Yes. And as we all know today, you know, student loans is the freaking biggest scam out there. Me and my wife are living it. But that was the point, to be as good as you could be, to get a free education, and then have a career. And that was what it was all about. There are, and I still think there are some kids that still follow that, because let's be honest, we all know that, like, I think, what is it? What's the percentage? It's like a crazy small percentage that actually, like, make it to the pro level.
It's under 5%.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
truthfully.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think a lot of kids still have that idea because they know, hey, I know I'm not good enough to go to the NFL, but I'm going to get out with no debt or very little student debt when this is all said and done, start mm-hmm. my career, I'm going to have a good life. But for the most part, I'm sorry, we're at a point now where you are no longer a student athlete. You are now an amateur professional athlete. You're getting paid to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you a professional level at it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how much it is. Even if it's one of these kids that's only making his tuition and that's it, needs to be in a contract. Now, I don't care if it's somebody that's making $1 million to come here and play quarterback. Needs to be in a contract. And there needs to be repercussions for, you can leave anytime you want. But if Neil Brown leaves, Neil Brown every year leaves this much money on the table if he decides he wants to leave. You've got 4 years to play quarterback here. We're giving you $1.5 million to do it. You decide you want to transfer because you're not happy here after year two. This is what you're leaving on the table. I'm sorry. Some people might think that's harsh. Some might think it's the right decision, but that's just where I am with it.
And there's no doubt in my mind that it's the wild, wild west of tampering.
Oh, God.
There's no doubt. Sound like Bill Stewart, but it's one of those things where there's a guy, and I'm just saying this, it's probably not true at all, but there's a guy, recruiting guy for WVU right now, that's looking at the best wide receiver for James Madison, the best wide receiver at the smaller next division down.
Well, he needs to be going to Bowling Green and seeing what's going on in Bowling Green, because they almost beat Penn State.
But what I'm saying is, though, and you know that these kids talk to each other.
Oh, sure.
The world of social media we live in today. You see them after the games, they were raised with that kid. That other kid's their cousin. And they're like, hey man, you need to come here. We saw it after the bowl game last year, you know, where Garrett Green openly talked to the guy that he was good friends with for North Carolina and said, drop him. Come up to Morgantown. I'll see you here in a few weeks, you know? Yeah. And that kid, he ended up not choosing Morgantown, but they talk and you know, they're getting paid and the payment don't bother me, you know, because if somebody's out there, if WVU is putting the kid's name on the back of a jersey and selling it, that kid should always got a check from it. Yeah. You know, that's just, but the pay for play thing, the money's getting outrageous, and there's got to be some faithfulness back to the university from these kids too.
I also think, I'm sorry, maybe salary caps are the answer. Because you got some of these schools down in Texas. I mean, look at A&M. Look at Texas.
You can't play with them.
Yeah, teams can't compete. And it's going to create a divide at some point. Already has kind of created a divide, but, you know.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gents. Well, listen, that was fun. My blood pressure's up, and now I'm going to go, drink a beer to get back down. But one thing I do want to announce out here is this Thursday, 6 p.m. on Twitter, we have been invited to a roundtable discussion by Beard. Ear Beard is his handle. Cool dude. We really like him. We've been on one of the smaller ones before. A couple other guys will be there. I think like Kuz's Corner got invited. Mike Gusty, got invited. Really cool thing. We're really happy to be a part of. We're really thankful that the Beard felt that we were good enough to come attend this discussion. So,
round two. Round two, baby.
It's a lot of fun. The last time we did it was our first time, and it was a good time. We really enjoyed it, so we're looking forward to doing it again, and we're glad that we got invited back. We didn't do anything to embarrass ourselves to get kicked out. So if anybody out there, I think the best way to get to it is his handle is, if you don't follow him, he's got a fair amount of followers. It's at Earbeard, E-E-R-B-E-A-R-D. Go on his page, and they call it X Space, and it's basically kind of a discussion. It's a live audio discussion, and you kind of just click on it, and it brings you in, and you can listen for free. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of, you know, stats and facts that get spout out. So that's this Thursday, 6 p.m. If anything changes, we'll put it on our Twitter page. But as of right now, that is where it's scheduled. We hope some of you guys that haven't attended one before that do listen to us, check that out. We think you guys might enjoy it. And that's all I have, man. Everybody, have a good week.
Hey, C-Ray, go ahead and tell them where they can find us at.
Well, that's just about everywhere. If you haven't found it yet, people, I don't know what you're doing. I put it on the Twitter page. Well, you can find us on Twitter at Ear to Ear Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts now. I have announced that the last couple times. We have had, you know, we did have a few people wanting us to get on Apple. So I went through the painstaking process of putting us on Apple. I don't know if I just didn't go about it the best way, but it was not easy to do. But I did get us there. So we are everything from season two, which, you know, is pretty much this August moving forward, is on there. You can also find us on Spotify and, of course, here at YouTube. If you're watching this video, you are already on YouTube. But we are on all those places, and most of these places, it's pretty much all Ear to Ear, E-E-R-T-O-E-A-R podcast. And you know what? We've got the next home game. We tailgate right by the pedestrian bridge that connects the light blue lot and the blue lot. Come down off that bridge. When you come down off that bridge, look at your 2 o'clock. There's a snow fence with a couple RVs and a trailer.
Yep.
That's where we are. If you guys want to come by, have a beer, run in there being like, hey, where's Lanny and C-Ray?
Well, that's all you got to do.
That's all you got to yell. Yep. Just yell it. Somebody will point you in our direction. It's a lot of fun. Come have a beer with us. And tell us we suck or tell us you love us.
Yeah, man.
Whichever you like.
Really, really, just really appreciate. Spread the word on us. If you like us, if you don't, you know, honestly, comment on some things. Hit us up on Twitter on some things. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? We're open game. We have nothing to hide from y'all.
I have found out that we are what is considered a fan podcast, which makes sense because neither of us have journal credentials. Neither of us went to freaking school for that. We both work in the power industry. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're journalists for a life, you know?
I mean, I can barely read, so.
It's true. It's true. I've had to read stuff to him before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, we just enjoy the communication that we do get from people. You know, it's just we're according to the professional levels, we are a fan podcast, and that's fine because guess what? That's what we're here for. So anyway, everybody have a good week. Lanny, take us out of here.
All right, y'all. We appreciate you listening, and we hope we kept you entertained from ear to ear. Let's go.